So here's my question for us this morning. How comfortable are we with being known, fully and completely known? And by being known, I mean being seen. My own answer to this question is that my journey into becoming one with God has been uncomfortable, because being one with God implies a kind of intimacy, a kind of spiritual intimacy. And I've not always been comfortable with the demands of that journey. I was raised in a Japanese-American family in a small Japanese-American community in a small town in the Pacific Northwest, around the time that the town was still recovering from the virulent racism against Japanese citizens during World War II. And it was in that racist environment that being seen was dangerous. And being heard was even more dangerous. So add to that being female, and you might begin to understand the dangerous terrain of wanting to be seen, yet fearing to be seen. Jesus' prayer that the disciples become one, the way that God is one with him and he is one with God, is a prayer about intimacy, spiritual intimacy. It's a prayer about closeness. It's a prayer about being seen, being entirely seen. And his prayer was meant to ensure that the disciples were transformed through that oneness with God, so that they would be able to teach and walk the way of love, the way that Jesus taught. He wanted them to be able to do that after he was gone. So his prayer invites us today to consider what it might mean for us individually and as a community to be one with God. If we have the courage to be fully known by God, what would that look like? My guess is it would liberate us with so much power that we would be free from the fear, the intimidation of being invisible, that we would rise up in the power of being liberated from invisibility. And if we are liberated from fear, if we are fully seen, no longer invisible, imagine the kind of courage and daring we would have for those in our midst who are still invisible. Imagine what we would be able to do for those who still need to be seen, who still need to be heard. I think of the growing number of homeless who are amongst us and who, after day after day after day, become invisible to us. I think of the frightened and helpless children separated from their families at our southern border. And I think of prisoners who are forgotten and invisible as they spend year after year in an environment that becomes more and more crowded and less safe. And I remember Jesus' teaching to the disciples, to their followers, to us, to take care of the vulnerable, to reach out to the marginalized, to heal the sick, to find the dispossessed and bring them in. To be one with God asks that we ourselves give ourselves over to intimacy with God, that we open ourselves up to be known, warts and all. God is not waiting for us to perfect everything and get ourselves all presentable before we become one with God. To be one with God is to be able to forgive and heal, and then to allow that liberating power, that life-giving power, to carry us forward into our lives, into our communities. Being one with God is being able to reconcile ourselves in those relationships that we all have that are broken, that are troubled, that are awkward, that we can learn to be gentle with each other, friend and foe. And being one with God really will inspire us to dare to look at our own denials, the own lies we tell ourselves, so that we don't have to do the work of change, so that we don't have to do the work of intimacy with God. To admit to ourselves that we are lying to ourselves, separating ourselves from God. To be at one with God is to be okay with that discomfort in order that we can reach out to those who need us, who suddenly become irresistible to us because we are called to be there with them. And to be one with God is to be filled with that hope, the hope that kindles in us a desire to heal ourselves, our relationships, and ultimately the world. To be able to forgive rather than to hang on to a grudge, and to ask another, tell me your story, and then to listen. The English mystic Julian Norwich wrote about her desire for unity with God in this way. Until I am substantially oned to him, I may never have love, rest, nor very bliss. That is to say, until I be so fastened unto him that there be right naught that is made between my God and me. And who shall do this deed? In sooth, himself, by his mercy and his grace, because he has made me for this. Her words echo Jesus' prayer in the gospel this morning. The desire to be one with God is not just a want, not even a need. It's a compelling power. It is the central piece of her Christian journey. And I love her wisdom that ultimately God made her for love, to become one with God. Now, there was a time when I thought this level of intense spiritual prayer was unique to mystics. But as I have continued my own Christian journey, its peaks and its valleys, I now understand it very differently. Unless we are one with God, understanding God through Jesus Christ, we are not fully known. We are not fully seen. We are not fully alive in Christ. We are not fully equipped to do what Jesus taught. Now, it's not linear, because as we do what Jesus has taught us to do, we also become more able to be fully one with God. So it's a spiral, it's a circular process. And in his prayer, where Jesus is asking on our behalf that God become one with him and he become one with God, what is really going on there is an invitation for all of us to remember that God calls us to co-create, to heal the world by working with God, to heal each other and our communities. And we do this in our own unique way, which we can embrace and celebrate when we know that God sees us fully and completely and loves us fully and completely. Brother Curtis Almquist puts it this way: Christ is slowly drawing the world into himself. And I would add, and our desire to be fully known and completely moves us into Christ. We act on this each time we approach the altar to receive Eucharist. We take Christ into ourselves in a most explicit action, born out of love and desire for oneness and completion. I'll leave you with a poem I wrote after reading that quote that I just read from Julian of Norwich. I'm calling it a riff on Julian of Norwich. Yearning to be one to him, knowing I hold this hunger, yet hesitate, just the same. None will be right with me or us until I am one to him, or else I may not ever arch in love or spoon in deepest rest or sigh in bliss, a timeless fullness, a coming, so thick with might I am one with no light between him and me, as it will be. I am open to being known, to his movement deep within, to the boundless reach of love, the way grace enters in and mercy envelops, soul upon soul, like flesh upon flesh. He has made me for this. We are made for this intimacy with God. Let our receiving Eucharist today remind us of God's desire for us, and let us live into that divine oneness. Because, brothers and sisters, we have been made for this.